Seated. Years ago, Paul Harvey told the story about an attempted robbery in Oceanside, California. The robber was wearing a motorcycle helmet and carrying a gun when he walked into the bank. He selected a teller who appeared a bit older, soft, kindly, an easy mark. He handed her a note demanding her money, the money in the cash drawer, or her life. The woman reached for the cash drawer. And then she looked at the note again, and her eyes flashed, and her teeth clenched. She pulled the entire drawer out, but instead of giving him money, she clobbered the robber over the head with the drawer. And she did it again and again. And she started scolding him. Money was flying everywhere. And she was hitting him over the head saying, "Shame on you! Shame on you!" Finally, the fellow turned and ran. And police caught him in nearby shrubbery. Afterwards, they asked the woman teller how come she was about to give him the money at gunpoint and then suddenly, instead, became enraged. She said rather primly, "In his note, there was a very naughty word." Different things upset different people. But there are times when all of us get angry. The Greek philosopher Aristotle once said, "Anyone can become angry. That's easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, this is difficult." And it's true. It's easy to get angry, and most of us do get angry. But to be angry with the right person about the right issues and in the right way is very difficult. In the United States, typically we don't get angry or even excited about religion very much, but in other parts of the world, that's not true at all. In Egypt, Muslims still attack the Coptic churches in order to destroy them and hurt the believers there. Why? Because they are Christian and not Muslim. In Ethiopia, the Yabir are not allowed to own or even rent property to make a living. Why? Because they're Jewish and they live among the Muslims, and they refuse to convert. In Iraq and Syria, ISIS has had a policy of zero toleration for anybody else who may vary from their beliefs, the Kurds, the Christians, and even other Muslims. Those who refuse to convert and are captured have been killed, sold into slavery, and had their homes and possessions confiscated. But being upset or excited here in the States is not common. And frankly, in the gospel accounts, we don't see Jesus get angry or upset very often. Last week, we did see him raise his voice at Peter and call him Satan. And at another time, we see him call the chief priests and Pharisees whitewashed tombstones. Clearly, if not angry, at least irritated. But in today's gospel, we see Jesus angry. He made in our scripture today, we heard him make a rope of cords and drove them all, the sheep and the oxen, out of the temple. And he poured the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. I think we can safely say that Jesus, meek and mild, was upset. Perhaps we could even say he was really angry. But why? Why was he really angry? Was he angry with the money changers? In the biblical times, the money changer was a familiar sight. He would sit at a table in a conspicuous place to change people's money from one kind to another. He charged interest, often excessively, and unfairly for this transaction. Even today, though, we have people who exchange the currency of one country to another, and they charge a fee for that. In Jerusalem, People could not use the common everyday Roman coins to buy the sacrificial birds and animals. The reason they couldn't use the Roman coin was because the Roman coins held a picture of Caesar, which to the Jews was a graven image. And we just heard in the reading today that they weren't allowed to use or have graven images. Therefore, the Jews had to exchange these Roman coins for temple shekels. And apparently, to expedite the process, the money changers had moved into the temple courtyards. During the Passover time, which time this was, the population of Jerusalem would have swollen from the normal about 200,000 people in the city to over 1 million. The crowd of pilgrims was enormous, and all of these pilgrims needed to buy the sacrificial animals, and in order to do that, they needed to exchange their money for temple shekels. So the money these guys were making was prodigious. So certainly Jesus was angry at the injustice of overcharging the pilgrims, but it was not only against the excessive charge for the service. It was that all this exchanging of money and the buying of the sacrificial animals was taking place in the temple courtyards. And this wasn't in the temple courtyard where the Jewish men worship. It was in the courtyard where the Jewish women worship. But all this exchanging of money and selling of the birds, sheep, and oxen took place in the courtyard of the Gentiles. In our gospel lesson, Jesus tells the people, "Don't make my Father's house into a marketplace." In other gospel accounts, we hear Jesus say, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it into a den of robbers." So why was Jesus angry? Was he upset at the money changers or the sellers of the sacrificial animals? Well, sure. I'm sure the price gouging got him angry, but I don't think that was the only issue or even the main issue. The primary issue was where all this was taking place. He was upset that instead of the temple being a place of prayer where people could come and pray and feel God's presence, now it was like a marketplace. Noisy, smelly, full of commotion. And Jesus said, this is not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be where people can come and meet God here, to feel his presence, to be able to confess their sins, and then to be able to find forgiveness for their sins. And yet now, instead, it had become a place for people to make money. As Aristotle said, it's easy to get angry, but to get angry for the right reasons is not so easy. You and I tend to get angry when our rights are infringed upon, when we feel slighted. Jesus got angry for entirely different reasons. Jesus got angry because people were unable to approach God in his house. In the U.S., we get worked up about sports and politics, and sports can be fun, and politics certainly affects our society and is important. The importance of knowing God is far more significant, because knowing God or not knowing God affects one's eternal life. And eternity is more important than sports or politics. It's way more important. With that in mind, we need to consider if we care about what God cares about. Do we care whether people can hear God? Do we care about the message of Jesus getting out and being understood? Are we concerned about people in our community who need to hear the gospel? Are we concerned about whether people can really worship and hear God without distractions? It comes down to what's really important to us. What really matters? We see today how angry it got Jesus that when people corrupted the place of worship and prayer, because he understood how important it is for all people to come to God. He understood how much everyone needs God. People need to feel his presence, need to be able to confess their sins and find forgiveness. All of us need this. Are our hearts concerned about whether others know God? It's the third week of Lent. Do we care about the same things Jesus cared about? Do we get excited, upset, or angry about the things Jesus did? Let us ask God to help us to realign our hearts with His heart so that what's important to God is also important to us. Amen.